How could you believe it? These are some of Mrs. Kohut's first words to me, once I've been welcomed into her home and overwhelmed by supportive relatives. Here she is, a small, bright woman, dressed in smart slacks, blouse, and bead necklace. Her hair is short and white. Her lipstick is rose pink. She is the reason I have flown around the world, from the north of England to a modest house in the hills, not far from the great city of San Francisco, California. We shake hands. At that moment, history becomes real life. Not just the archives, book stacks, fashion drawings, and fluid fabrics that are my usual historical sources for writing and presenting. I am meeting a woman who has survived a time and place now synonymous with horror. Mrs. Kohut sits at a lace-covered table, offering homemade apple strudel. During our meetings, she has a backdrop of scholarly books, mingled with flower bouquets, pretty embroideries, family photos, and colourful ceramics. We ease into the first interview by browsing the 1940s dressmaking magazines that I brought to show her, and then examining a stylish red wartime dress from my own collection of vintage clothes. "Good quality work," she comments, running her fingers along the dress's embellishments. "Very elegant." I marvel at how clothes can connect us across continents and generations. Underlying the shared appreciation of cut, style, and skill is a far more significant fact. Decades before, Mrs. Kohut was handling fabrics and garments in a very different context. She is the last surviving dressmaker from a fashion salon established at Auschwitz concentration camp. A fashion salon in Auschwitz? The very idea is a hideous anomaly. I was staggered when I first saw mention of the Upper Tailoring Studio, as it was called, while reading about links between Hitler's Third Reich and the fashion trade in preparation for writing a book about global textiles in the war years. It's clear that the Nazis understood the power of clothes as performance, demonstrated by their adoption of iconic uniforms at monumental public rallies. Uniforms are a classic example of using clothing to reinforce group pride and identity. Nazi economic and racial policies aimed to profit from the clothing industry, using the proceeds of plunder to help fund military hostilities. Elite Nazi women also valued clothing. Magda Goebbels, wife of Hitler's insidious propaganda minister, was known for her elegance, and she had few qualms about wearing Jewish creations, despite the Nazi obsession with erasing Jews from the fashion trade. Emmy Göring, married to Reichsmarshal Hermann Göring, wore plundered luxury, albeit claiming she had no idea of the provenance of her assets. Eva Braun, Hitler's mistress, adored couture, even having her wedding dress delivered across burning Berlin in the last days before her suicide and Germany's surrender, wearing it with Ferragamo shoes. And yet, a fashion salon in Auschwitz. Such a workshop encapsulated values at the core of the Third Reich, qualities of privilege and indulgence bound up with plunder, degradation, and mass murder.